Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. Episode 32 for February 2nd, 2008. Denise Howell. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations. It's time for jumping monkeys.
Jumping all around.
Up and down the monkeys. Hello, Megan Maroney.
Hi, Leo. How was your week?
Very nice. I was in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
Vancouver, where it's cold and rainy and wet. So, the good thing, you know, it was like that when I used to go to Toronto to do the TV show, is no matter how awful the weather was, I knew I was always coming home to beautiful Northern California. Except where it's cold and rainy.
Yeah, totally rainy. I thought I was going to get like carried away on the walk over here.
Got a little wet.
Yeah.
You got a leak in the raincoat.
I did. I had a leak in my raincoat. My pants are totally wet. And,
well, that's why I'm back on the ball instead of this chair, because if it does flood, I'll float away on my exercise ball.
Yeah, yeah. I registered Annabella for kindergarten this week.
Isn't that exciting?
The kindergarten your kids went to. Kindergarten that shall not be named.
The one around the corner?
Yep.
Oh, that's a great kindergarten.
Yeah, we went there this morning every Friday. I don't know if they had this when your kids were there. That James Kay plays for the kindergarten, the singer, the local.
I think he had a kid in that school.
Yeah.
But he hasn't had a kid there in a long time, but he still plays.
Yeah, so.
It's nice. I would bet most communities have a guy like James Kay.
I bet they do too.
Who's a talented singer, songwriter. He plays kids' songs, and he goes and he volunteers in the schools. He's not a big star. He probably has a self-published CDs and stuff. I think he does, but. You know, he just does it because he loves it.
Yeah.
And the kids get to hear real music.
Yeah.
So they love it.
Yeah. So it was really great. And
that's the best kindergarten. And those teachers are sticking around, aren't they?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It's our kindergarten. So that's where we're going.
The two best kindergarten teachers. They did a kind of an unusual thing. They joined the classes into one big class.
Uh-huh.
But they had a lot of aides, a lot of student teachers. And the two best teachers I've ever known, actually three. Who were just wonderful. I don't want to name their names because I don't want to give anybody a way to find where it is. But, oh, my goodness. And they were going to retire.
Oh.
And every time I go back to the school and they're still there. I say, you haven't retired? Nope.
I actually have heard. I heard last year that one of the kindergarten teachers was leaving. And I heard that this year. I don't know.
I don't know if they're
going to
stay.
It's so weird because it's like, you know, we're just going to the school that is in our district, but there's a lot of people who want to transfer.
This particular kindergarten is the best in town.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, other people who, well, I don't know. I think any kindergarten in town.
We liked it so much. Henry went twice. and I was one of the saddest days in school of my life was that last day where we sang the song. You sing the song in the morning. Good morning, dear earth. Good morning, dear sun.
Uh-huh.
And the last time I sang that with Henry in my lap, I bawled my head off.
Yeah.
I realize I talk about crying on this show a lot.
It's okay. It's okay to cry.
I'm a very emotional person.
It's from that like Free to Be You and Me song. It's okay to cry.
It's a new Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, coming up, we're going to get harsh. We're going to get real. We're going to talk about the law.
Yeah, we're going to have a check-in with Denise Howell, who, of course, on the TWiT Network does This Week in Law and writes for the ZDNet blog, Logarithms.
Blogarithms.
And
Logarithms.
Logarithms, no I think. Yeah. And she also, her site is Bag and Baggage.
Yeah.
And,
she's a famous law blogger, famous lawyer, famous mommy.
Yeah. And, she finds some great things on the net.
She
shares
so good.
Her Google Reader things on one of her friends on her Google Reader. And it's fascinating
to
stuff.
I sat behind her in a conference once and I just watched and. You know, it was kind of slow, so she was surfing, and I watched her, like, do two or three blog posts during the lecture. And she's, you know, it's great. She finds this stuff, and she gets it up there. And that's the problem, is I see stuff, and I go, oh, yeah, I'll blog that someday. You got to be like, okay, there it is. I got it. And she does that. She's so good.
Yeah, so I thought it would be good to have her to talk about some of the parenting law issues that
she's going to be on in a second. Why don't we get started, and then if she shows up. As soon as she shows up, we'll put her on.
Okay. Why don't we start with the question of the week?
We've been doing this question of the week.
With the polls that you folks can vote on.
Now, I have to say, we're doing this ahead of time, mm-hmm. so we don't know yet what the results of the last poll are.
But in a few weeks, we're going to give you the results of all of them. And
that's good, though, because we're now fully objective.
Yes, fully. And here's something that I've been wondering. Do you put your own kids' videos on YouTube?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because I wanted to actually talk to Denise about this, too, because, you know, my husband is a teacher at your daughter's school. And
he better not put videos of her on. Abby gets mad at me all the time because I have put pictures of her and her friends up on my Flickr account. And you know what? She convinced me to stop. So we had a video, for instance, we did of Christmas. I did a great video. I would love to share this because I did such a good job of it.
And she asked you to not.
No, she didn't say a word, but I just decided, no, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And then when we were in Egypt, I have lots of pictures. Some of my best pictures are of other people on the tour, mm-hmm. on the group. And I realized I can't share them with anybody but other people on the group. So that's life.
Well, I think it's interesting because we talk a lot about like kids putting their own pictures up and how you should, make sure that they're being safe. But I think it's interesting. And, what we were discussing, my teacher friends, were that a lot of people at their school, put up, they'd like to have their little home video camera that's not so great. And they videotape like, you know, the performances, the drama performances, and then they put them up on YouTube and they're kind of bad quality and they link them to the school's name. And that, you know, so then if someone is a prospective student and then they look it up on YouTube.
It's really neat. Or like if you're an aunt or uncle, you can see it.
Right. But then, I don't know.
I think we're over paranoid.
Yeah. I don't think, well, what they were paranoid was not about, what they were worried about is that it looks like bad quality. You can't see what like really great drama performances they put on.
Nobody expects perfection. Mm. Is that what they're worried about?
Yeah.
That it's like a bad advertisement?
Kind of, yeah. Mm. But I don't know. We can talk about the legal
issues. That's a great
question.
But
not whether it's a bad advertisement. I'm not a teacher, so I don't know. But do you put your own kids' videos on YouTube?
That'll be on the show notes on jumpingmonkeys.com
for
episode 32. So you can... that's a really challenging question. I used to, and I stopped, but I don't know if it's overkill.
I do.
You do?
There. Yeah. Not like crazy, not too many, but if they're funny, and I think, and it's not like I don't know. I guess I just think they're funny and I want to share them with friends.
Right.
And then I put them up on my blog and I want to save them too, is the thing, you know? So,
and I wonder if that's the best way to save them. I don't know.
But
I guess Google
it's like backup kind of. Like
right.
They're also on my computer and everything, but I like to have a backup.
Maybe I should upload this video of Christmas. It was a good video.
But YouTube doesn't have like privacy settings, do they?
No.
That's interesting.
No.
So should we do spend, save, give?
Spend, save, give.
While we wait for Denise. Spend.
Spend.
This is one way to spend your money. Each week we do this. Spend your money, save your money, give it away. These are baby bookmarks from Ringo Baby.
Ringo Baby. I love the name. All the babies are drummers.
This is a great alternative to standard baby announcements. That you'd
this
send
is
out.
Neat. These
and
are
we
pretty.
Did our this is the way we did our holiday cards. We sent out holiday bookmarks.
Oh, I like this idea.
Did you not get our holiday card?
Yeah, but it wasn't a bookmark.
It was a bookmark.
Oh, you know, I got your thank you card.
That wasn't a bookmark.
You have a thank you card with the pictures of your
that
snow.
I also got from Ringo Baby because I loved her stuff so much.
I don't remember the bookmark. I mustn't have seen it.
Maybe it wasn't shared with you, but you are on our Christmas card.
Oh, I'm sure
list,
I got
so.
It. You're going to get our Christmas card pretty soon.
You keep saying that.
We actually printed them.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyway, so these are baby bookmarks.
I'm feeling bad because I wish I'd gotten a bookmark.
Oh, next year.
These are really cute. Do they have to be babies?
No, you can do anything. You can do, well, these baby announcements is the standard thing, but you can do baby.
Other bookmarks.
Thank you. And Kristen, who owns Ringo Baby, is great to work with. It's like such, it's so nice to like not just do them through Shutterfly like I do every year where it's like this big corporation. Like she'll send you a proof and,
I
you know,
this.
Like she'll do original, you know, whatever you want, really, basically. And just... Great. And actually, I found this on Cool Mom Picks, who we're going to talk to Kristen from Cool Mom Picks, who's different than Kristen from Ringo Baby. We're going to talk to her next week. Now, ready to save?
It's about babies, but I guess you could get this with any picture.
Yeah. I don't think people would appreciate like you naked lying on a baby blanket as much as they would a baby, but
you can read my mind. All right. Save.
Okay. These are ways to save on your heating bill from realsimple.com.
I would like that.
Real Simple magazine has an online site, and these are really cool, easy tips. You might already know about them, but you might have forgotten, like replacing your heating filter.
Stuffing your dog into the cracks of windows.
Yes, that is what the picture is. But using ceiling fans to blow hot air down. So, you know, you can turn them on backwards so that they blow the hot air down.
Oh.
Closing off unused rooms. Marco does this in our house constantly.
Like anyone, closing
yes,
doors.
If anyone's not using that room all day, like
actually
you close
do
the
that.
Door. You do that
I do
too?
That, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's good for the environment. It's not just cheapskate thing to do that I accuse Marco
of
doing.
You think it's kind of cheapskate, though.
But it's good, you know, to close off
the room. It keeps the place warmer.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah, yeah, it does. So, yeah, realsimple.com will link to the show
notes.
I like
that magazine.
I do, too.
It's real.
Yeah.
And it's simple.
Yeah. All right. Now we've gotten to give.
Yes.
This is Project Night Night.
Night Night.
ProjectNightNight.org. They're a Bay Area organization, but they have, they're just centered in the Bay Area, but they have
all over
places everywhere. And what you can do is they collect books, blankets, and stuffed animals for homeless children. So like, you know, security things that you would have at night.
That breaks my heart.
Yeah. And I actually, I've worked with them. I worked with them last year, did a drive through our mother's club where we collected tons of stuff, and we ended up giving it to the local shelter, and it was great. I mean, it was just, and it's, so many moms have like really extra stuffed animals. I'm not talking about like the used ones, but even like really good condition.
Tons
like,
of stuff.
You get the tons of gifts. And often there's drop-off locations at like Starbucks and stuff, and you can just bring the books.
They have a map on the site of all over the country, so you can find anywhere. Pretty much every state has a shelter.
Yeah. So the woman who runs it is just great. She was very great to work with. And we ended up just having a bunch of extras because the shelter in our town won't take stuffed animals. So you should check before you start to collect because they sometimes, you know, they're worried about like lice something. Yeah. So we ended up with a bunch of extra ones and I just dropped them off, at her house and she didn't care. Like she was like, she just, this
at the
woman,
Project Night Night house?
At her house, yeah. They were just extra ones, and she was just going to distribute them herself.
That's
neat. So, yeah, I don't know if she would do that for everybody, but...
just drop them off at her house.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, projectnightnight.org.
Very cool. I'll tell you what, let's save our Audible pick for a little bit later, because I think Denise Howell is ready to talk to us. I hope so, anyway.
I hope so, too.
Let's see if we can say hi to Denise Howell. Hello, Denise!
Hello.
Hello, Denise.
Hello. How are you guys?
We're great. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Keeping busy?
Yes. Yes. Always.
We were talking about how you blog nonstop.
Oh, gosh. No, I don't blog nonstop at all these days.
Do you
get
have blogger guilt?
Blogger what?
Guilt.
Blogger guilt. I don't know if it's guilt, but yeah, if I get a post, I have the opposite of guilt. If I get a post or two up a week, I feel really good.
Oh, that's good. Well, I was just talking about how I sat behind you at that the podcast expo and watched you blog like three or four posts during a 1 hour period. And I was so impressed.
Yeah, I love doing that at conferences. That's like the one spot where I can sort of get into my blogging zone. And, you know, if I've got good Wi-Fi and good stuff to listen to and blog, then I'm happy as a clam. So.
Excellent. So is your son in preschool now?
He is. He's in preschool.
Oh, my gosh. How's that been?
Just twice a week. It's been really good. I had, you know, all digits crossed. We did kind of a preschool light last summer where he just got to go and basically play most of the time. But this year, you know, it's like, quote unquote, academic, if you can apply that to a preschool.
Oh, please.
No, seriously, they send him home with homework. And I look
what?
At
the homework.
Homework.
They like have what? Homework. Now, what could preschool homework be?
They have homework, and it's funny because I
like what? Like, you stick this crayon up your nose? What? What could it be?
No, that he could probably handle.
Yeah. He's a genius.
Do they make them write reports? I mean, what are they doing?
Yeah, no, they don't make them write reports. No, it's like, you know, learning exactly letters and numbers, learning how to write. But then they kind of extended into, okay, so learning how to add and learning how to put letters together into words. And yeah, it's crazy. I look at this stuff and I go, you know, I don't think I was doing this kind of work in second grade.
They're going way too far on homework. If they're doing homework in math homework in preschool, I thought it was bad that my kids were getting homework in fifth grade.
I know. It's craziness.
Wow. Are you in like some, is it like some special, you know, early achiever, fast track pre-law, preschool?
No. Well, you know, I mean, it does have kind of a reputation as a more academic preschool.
Which
the director tried to assure me was not warranted, and that, you know, they're all about fun and play. And they do a ton of fun and play. But, you know, they also have a lot of sitting at tables and being, more like kindergartners, I guess.
I've got a new question for your blog, Megan, new poll. How soon should homework start?
Yeah, that's a good question. We'll do that one coming up.
Yeah. I you know what? I actually kind of enjoy it. It's just a few pages long each week. And
that's not too bad.
Yeah, you know, and he loves it when he gets it done. He feels like an amazing sense of accomplishment, I think. And they have a big chart on the wall and have them all put stickers up when they turn their homework in. So, you know, I think they feel like big kids when they do it.
Yeah.
It might be a good idea, actually. It might be start now to kind of train them to the idea of it. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, especially when they're really young, like before 10th grade, it's really you that's doing the work.
Yeah, no, he needs a lot of help, that's for sure.
I feel like they send homework home, and really it's more like parent work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Yeah.
So we wanted to talk about a few of the intersections of parenting and the law. And one of the things I found really interesting that you wrote about in your blog, Logarithms, is this weird data harvesting that Build-A-Bear does.
Yeah, and I'm sure they are not alone in this kind of strategy. It's just sort of the first time I've run into it in an offline setting, you know, in somebody's store, as opposed to, you know, logging onto their site and making use of their services and being asked to input some data there. You know, in that context, I think parents are sort of attuned to what's going on, and you know, presumably they're there with their kids and helping out, or at least supervising what's going on.
So why don't you describe a little bit about what Build-A-Bear is for people who don't know? And
sure. Build-A-Bear is this amazing, really fun retail outlet. When I wrote my blog post, I looked into how big they were. They have over 350 outlets worldwide, most in the U.S., and you go in, and it's very sort of internet age in a way, in that it caters to this lust we all have to have things ultimately customized, you know, to have things very much our own. So you go in and you pick out one of over 30 different animals, and then the kids have all kinds of fun because they get to stuff the animals there using these big machines in the store that have white fluff flying around for everyone to see inside. And then they put a heart in the animal to bring it to life.
Aww.
And they have this whole sort of very syrupy sweet ritual they go through, where the kids, you know, rub the heart on their muscles to make it strong, and on their head to make it smart. And
it's neat.
Yeah, it's kind of cute. And then they put it inside, and then you know, the real sort of consumer aspect of it kicks in, because the rest of the store, once you get past picking out your animal and stuffing your animal, is full of stuff for the animal, including, you know, everything from cell phones to all manner of clothes and skateboards and tents and sleeping bags.
Boy.
It just goes crazy. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully you can limit the animal's accoutrements to a manageable amount. But then when you're getting ready to check out, you go to this bank of computers, and you sit down, and I did this with Tyler. It took forever to sit down and do it because the place was so crowded. But once you finally do sit down, you know, there's nothing that sort of pops up in front of you and says, okay, you are about to be in this whole data entry world. All you think you're doing, or all you're sort of told that you're doing, is you're giving your bear, or whatever it is, a name so that it can get a birth certificate, you know, kind of a la the Cabbage Patch Kids.
Mm-hmm.
But when you sit down and start, you know, manipulating the keyboard, which, by the way, is set up to be very kid friendly, the whole thing, you know, is sort of Dr. Seussian in appearance with big colorful consoles, and the keyboards have big shapes, and it says push the star to begin, and you know, so it's all made to have the kids really sitting there and inputting a lot of data, much like they might do in school or at a museum or somewhere, you know, that's set up to have a big kid-friendly kind of computer setting. And, you know, there's no privacy policy that pops up at you in any kind of conspicuous way, if at all, when you begin. And all of a sudden, you're just confronted with, you know, a bunch of data entry fields for your child's name and address and gender and birthday and blah, 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 on and on.
They get the parent to enter it because they can't get the kid to enter it, so they get the parent to enter it.
It's, you know, the older kids go here too. So, and the kids that I was there with are old enough so that they're starting to know what their address is and their phone number. So, you know, it becomes this sort of learning experience, or at least that's what the parents think they're doing. They're saying, okay, Jimmy, you know, what's our phone number?
Isn't it limited online to 13 and over, this kind of data collection?
No, you can collect data under COPPA, the Child Online Privacy Protection Act, from under 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
But you have to jump through all these hoops to do it. And you have to have some kind of verifiable parental consent involved in that process. And that's where I just sort of tripped up on this, is that, you know, I think the parents were really lulled into thinking that this was not somehow collecting data from their kids, even though that's clearly what they were doing. And, you know, the kids, of course, don't know any better. And the other thing that kind of bugged me about it was that, as I said, you know, there were older kids involved too. And some of them were just sitting at the computers by themselves with their parents elsewhere in the store, you know, accessorizing their animal. So it seemed to be a very effective way of getting data out of people who might otherwise be reticent to give things like their child's birthday and gender and home address up for any reason. And so then you got a privacy policy, you know, tucked in the packaging as you were taking your animal out of the store. And the privacy policy is great, actually, but I just, you know, I didn't feel like the people's consent was being meaningfully given in this kind of setting. So that's what my post was about. And actually, within 24 hours, I think, I got an email from the guy who is the chief Inbearmation officer.
Oh, boy.
At Build-A-Bear.
Oh, boy.
Someone named Dave Finnegan, who sent me a very pleasant email saying that he was a dad and he was concerned. And yes, they strive to be, you know, as conscientious as possible with data collection. And, you know, I went back in some detail and explained to him why I didn't think this was a conscientious way to go about it. And he actually just sent me back a send today that said that they were going, I've made a bunch of suggestions to them that I thought, you know, would help make this less egregious. And he told me today they're going to bring it in front of their privacy committee, and who knows, maybe it'll change something. So.
Wow. I'm actually impressed. I mean, at least they listen.
Yeah, I am too. Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. Like, it seems like that often happens with your posts. Like, people find out about them and either, you know, you get corrected or they can change or they get corrected. I think that's great.
You have power, Denise.
I don't know about that. I mean, it really is kind of a testament to how far blogging has come, because, you know, when I started doing this in 2001, I don't think I would have ever expected such a speedy or effective response.
Yeah. No, that's true. It is the power of the blog nowadays.
Yeah. And it shows you companies are out there, you know, with their Google alerts set to find what's being written about them.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's exactly true. In fact, anytime anybody mentions me, I get an email from my program director in Los Angeles saying, we just saw this article. It really is true. With Google alerts, everything is exposed now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So I haven't posted it yet, but I'm going to post our whole email exchange, which he had no problem with my doing.
Wow.
So.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So that sounds like, obviously, the company's brilliant at marketing. Sounds like they maybe were a little aggressive, but not unthinkingly so, and maybe are going to do something about it.
Yeah.
Well, it is interesting when you think about also the fact that you were there for a birthday party, right?
Right.
And that, I mean, that's even why that means they can cast even like a wider net, because there's a lot of people who maybe wouldn't go
their parents.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't go to a Build-A-Bear just on your own. But, you know, you get kind of pressure. Well, it's their birthday party. I'm going to, you know, it's my kid's friend. I'm going to go. And
right.
So, and
right. I had never been there before.
Yeah.
Because
I find that, at a lot of, well, it's a lot of the places that we go to birthday parties, like places where they have big blow up jumpy houses and everything, they always like collect your name and address, and it's sort of, it's like on the release form, and that's why they kind of put it in that context, like, oh, well, we need your information and your signature just in case something happens. But then I always get tons of junk mail from them, you know?
That's really annoying.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I have taken in the last week to using the service that was plugged on TechCrunch called Catalog Choice, which is at least one way of cutting down on some of that junk mail. It's got thousands and thousands of catalog titles, and it's a nonprofit. So although they too collect all your personal information, it's for a good cause, because they then contact all the catalog companies that you want to opt out of and tell them to stop sending things to you.
Yeah, there's a site called Green Dimes. Have you ever heard of them?
Mm-mm.
They're similar, and I went through, and it was like a pretty long process that I never really finished. I kept getting emails from them, but I wasn't totally happy with that service. But yeah, catalog, what is it called?
Catalogchoice.org.
Yeah, I mean, I did the analog way some years ago, where you can go to the Direct Marketing Association and just say, take me off all the lists, and it really reduced the amount of junk mail I got.
Yeah.
But then as soon as you move, it all starts up again.
Yeah,
it doesn't
take
long. And we order stuff from catalogs. The minute you order anything from a catalog, you're fair game, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So the other thing we wanted to talk to you about was this lawsuit. I don't know if it is still pending, but where someone found their picture that they had posted on Flickr. It was in a Virgin Atlantic ad, or what was the story behind this?
Yeah, it was, I think it's still pending. I haven't heard otherwise or seen otherwise on the Creative Commons site, and they're one of the defendants. And it's pending in Texas.
Creative Commons is a defendant?
It's a defendant, yeah. And here's kind of the wacky reason why. Because not only, what happened was that a minor, I forget exactly how old this girl was, but she's a teenager, was photographed by one of her counselors at school, who had a Flickr account and was posting pictures there. And, you know, hers was not the only picture. I think he posted pictures of several of the kids that he was coming into contact with. And
just regular fun, like we're at camp.
Yes,
we're having fun pictures.
Exactly. Those kinds of pictures. And he had selected the Creative Commons attribution license for everything that he was posting to Flickr, which, of course, you're given the option to select a license when you post to Flickr, or you don't have to have a license at all. But he picked that one, and that is the most lenient of the licenses, which means that your photos that you post there can be used for any purpose by anybody, and they just have to give you attribution. So Virgin, I think it was some Australian branch of the Virgin Empire, of Virgin Mobile, used one of the photos that he'd taken in an ad that ran, I think, like on bus station or, bus stop sides in Australia. And it was just this cute picture of a girl. And underneath there was some caption that said something like, get rid of your pen friends, like you should be texting instead. So the lawsuit was brought both by the parents and also by the counselor who was the photographer. And he specifically sued Creative Commons for not making the terms of this attribution license clear enough. You know, as far as I can tell, that's his main complaint, that he just didn't comprehend, you know, how much he was giving up by applying that license. And then the girl's parents obviously don't like the fact that her image was used in an ad without their permission, without her permission, for commercial purposes, et cetera. And they also don't like that the ad, you know, it has this, I guess, sort of snarky undertone of, you know, you're going to dump your friends.
Right.
So I think that is all still pending, but it raises a couple of interesting issues. You know, number one, I think it's it's probably the first time Creative Commons has been sued for this sort of thing. And of course, there's this overarching issue that everyone is dealing with if they have children in our society these days, and that's that everyone has a camera phone and everyone is using these web photo sharing services for their camera phone or their other camera. And all of this stuff is going out on the web. And, you know, your kids might be captured in a way that they wouldn't have been before, just because there wasn't this marriage of the, you know, proliferation of photography opportunity and the ability to share it globally in any number of ways.
Because I took pictures, for instance, of my daughter's play and put a few of them on Flickr with other kids in them. And I use a non-commercial attribution share alike, but so Virgin couldn't use it. But it does raise that issue, and I think I probably shouldn't be doing that. I think I'm going to have to pull them down, make them private.
Well, you know, I mean, Larry Lessig, who is, you know, one of the core founders of Creative Commons, commented on the lawsuit on his blog, and he made the excellent point that, you know, there's probably no privacy violation involved in what went on here. You know, that the girl was out in a public place and, you know, you're allowed to take photos of people in public places and presumably to use them for non-commercial purposes, including in ways like posting them to your Flickr account. And that, you know, none of that should really reasonably involve a privacy violation. And that's the key part of privacy law, is just, you know, what is your reasonable expectation of privacy? Mm-hmm. And most of the privacy cases have to do with, you know, where a violation has been found is when, you know, someone has snuck a camera into places where cameras would not be expected, and, you know, or has otherwise, you know, managed to zoom into your home one way or another.
But if you're in public, it's you don't have an expectation of privacy. You can't say, boy, I don't want to have that picture of me on Flickr, because if you're in public.
Right. And of course, it complicates matters when the person is a minor and, you know, do they have a higher expectation of privacy? And how about in a school setting? And there is one EPA guideline that was published that said
the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yeah. Isn't that strange?
They have guidelines for this?
Apparently. I'm taking this from Wikipedia, so, you know, maybe they got the name of the agency
The EPA, in the old days, they were the ones who started CERT, and they've been very involved, oddly enough, in the digital era. So I believe it completely. It's just odd.
Right. There's a little blurb in the Wikipedia description of COPPA that says, one U.S. government department, and they reference this EPA document, says there's no restriction on the dissemination of photos of children if taken in public spaces with no identification and used only for editorial, not advertising purposes. The use of prearranged photos taken in a protected environment, such as a school or a hospital, and showing a highly defined and recognizable image requires a release. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's not the law. It's a guideline, but I think it's a pretty good one. And, you know, I think that if push came to shove in a court of law, you would find a higher expectation of privacy for a kid in a school setting than you would just, you know, running around town.
Yeah. Now that does make sense. I'm going to go pull those pictures down right now.
Well, you know, I mean, like any enthusiastic parent, we had this at Tyler's preschool. One of the room moms that is involved in our class is a great photographer, amateur photographer, and she was documenting all the fun little events they did, and then she was putting them up on Shutterfly. And I think she was doing it just in a closed group that was, you know, email invite only. But it still creeped out somebody enough that they complained. Mm-hmm. And the school reacted by, you know, putting out this notice that went to all the parents that had to do with, you know, please don't post pictures of our children on the internet.
Well, it probably is a good idea for schools to actually make a policy like that and state it. You know, I posted about seven pictures from a theatrical production, you know, thinking that other parents could look at it, sharing it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what Flickr's about, right? You're sharing photos.
Right.
But I guess you do have to be, unfortunately, you have to be careful. And these aren't small kids. If they were little children, that might be a little different. These are teenagers. Yeah. It's a high school production.
Yeah. Right. And of course, Yahoo, who owns Flickr, has the broadest possible protection for themselves in their terms of service, because by using the service and agreeing to the terms, you agree not to use the service to, quote unquote, harm minors in any way.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
So
they're protected. I had no doubt that Yahoo was protected in this. Yeah. That's kind of sad that the CC, the Creative Commons, is being sued over this. I hope they're being well defended. I'm sure they are being well defended.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of any other time. In fact, the Creative Commons has been challenged in court in any way.
I can't either. The licenses have come up in court, but never with Creative Commons as a defendant, as far as I know.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's only 5 years old. It's not a terribly old or aged service at this point, but we'll see.
Interesting. This is the part of the law I love, where you really kind of address thorny issues that have real practical implications. Mm-hmm. And it isn't obvious. It's you have to think about it.
Yeah. The other thing that comes into play when you're talking about pictures of people and how they're used is this concept of right of publicity, which usually only comes up with celebrities. And, you know, the laws vary from state to state. California has a pretty strong right of publicity law, not surprisingly, since we're the home of Hollywood, which basically prevents people from being able to use your name or likeness for commercial purposes without your permission. Mm. So, you know, the people in this Virgin case would have had yet another leg to stand on, at least in California. I don't know what the law is that governs that case, and that is they could sue for unauthorized use of your name and likeness.
That's a good thing to know, actually, because I think people do that to me all the time. I see pictures of myself on all sorts of web pages saying, I love this product.
Yeah.
Now, they're quoting a review, though, right? So is that different?
No, it really isn't. If you wanted to be persnickety about it, Leo, you know, if someone is using your image without your permission for a commercial purpose, depending again on the laws that would govern where it's being published, et cetera, you probably have a real good leg to stand on in asking them at minimum to take it down, you know, and then if they don't do it, you know, you can sue for damages. Sue to recover everything they've made off of your image.
I like that.
That's an interesting revenue stream for you, Leo.
Go ahead. Use my pictures, folks. You'll be hearing from me in a couple of months.
This podcast has been brought to you by my lawsuits.
No, I'm not litigious at all, but it's so funny. The first time I met Denise, she gave a lecture for bloggers on all the things you should keep in podcasters and all the things you should keep in mind when you do it. And I realized in every way possible, I was at risk. I was exposed. I was in deep trouble. And have I done anything since?
Yeah, I hate terrifying people like that.
I have done. Well, the good news is I haven't done anything. I'm an LLC. That's all I did was incorporate. So.
Well, that's good. That's a good step.
Yeah. Gives me some protection. So go ahead and libel away, Megan. Because, they can't get my house anyway.
Well, thank you so much, Denise. That has been very interesting.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. Always a pleasure to be on your show. I'm a big fan.
Well, we're big fans of yours. Yeah. We'll look for another This Week in Law soon. And, of course, you could follow Denise on her CNET column, Logarithms. Is there a simple URL for that?
It's logarithms.com.
LAWGARITHMS.
Okay. And then, of course, my home blog is Bag and Baggage.
Which we love also. Thank you, Denise.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you.
Okay.
See you on Facebook.
Great talking to you too. Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Denise, every once in a while, send me a strange gift on Facebook. It's really fun.
A gift?
Yeah. You know, this I don't really get. Do you know? Have you? Well, you're not on Facebook.
I'm not on Facebook.
You can send people pictures of gifts, right? Uh-huh. So I could send you a ruby slipper, for instance. But it's a picture of a ruby slipper. But here's the thing. It costs money.
Really?
Yeah, they're like a buck each.
Huh. Interesting.
But, you know, you buy like 10 bucks worth and then you send it.
Oh.
I don't know. There's something about it makes you want to do it.
Do you own the picture then?
No. Like, can you... No. And then they do this funny thing like, this is an exclusive. There are only 3 million of them.
Oh. Interesting.
So, you know, and then that kind of even makes you more want to send it.
Yeah.
But people send in gifts all the time. Now, there are free gift systems, but the official Facebook gift system, and by the way, they have better gifts.
Well, you do know that you could, like, just cut and paste a picture into an email and send it.
No, it's not the same. No. See, because it has a whole... I know, this sounds really stupid.
Is Facebook a cult?
It is a cult.
Okay.
It sounds so stupid. But see, look, gifts. Okay. So I have 67 gifts. Mm-hmm. Paul gave me a pirate hat. Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sidepick. Pat gave me Juno. I don't know what that is.
Did you see Juno?
Is that from the movie Juno?
I think so. It's such a good movie.
I don't want to see it because it's about a 13-year-old who's pregnant and I have
such
kids.
Such a good movie.
I know. I want to go see it.
It's a really good dad-daughter relationship movie.
Okay. But my daughter, I'm not going to see it with my daughter. Well, you think I should?
I don't know. You could see it by yourself or
she's
with
15.
Her. It doesn't matter.
I don't know.
She should see it. It's a really great, well-written movie.
Will it make her want to get pregnant if she
no,
sees it?
No, it will not.
Okay, that's all I care about.
So you've taught her better than that, Leo.
I have. She does not want to get pregnant. In fact, the last thing she said to Jennifer was, why would anybody choose this lifestyle?
She's like baffled by the whole thing. I think just the year she spent coming over after school every Thursday and taking care of my boys, that was excellent.
Excellent, yes. You know, just introduce them early to young kids.
Yeah.
So you see, these are all gifts. See, Brian sent me a fancy shirt. Candy and Pat sent me Juno. Private sent me a boot. But see, I have all these gifts. Look at, see? That's from Pat Hyland. Here's a penguin, a monkey.
Okay.
Stephanie sent me a cupcake.
Interesting.
It's like getting a real one.
Interesting.
Susan Kerr actually draws these. She's one of the artists, and she's such a good artist. She did the original icons for the Mac.
Oh.
And see, she even sent me a gift from my birthday.
Well, if it's her own drawing, I understand
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but it's one of the public gifts that it's she does it for a living. Rubik's Cube?
Huh. Well, we're waiting for Jeremiah McNichols to call in.
Oh, he's here.
He is?
Oh, I'm here. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Hi, Jeremiah. You were probably really bored. I'm so sorry. I just looked over and there he is.
I just sort of popped in on the conversation. Well, I didn't know if I was live or not, so I didn't want to butt in.
Now you know you can call in any time on Friday and just start talking.
You can, actually. It's kind of amazing how that works.
So Jeremiah is here, and he is going to be giving us a few of prizes. Prizy, you know, is his site that lists contests and giveaways all over the web. And so he's going to be giving us some of the hottest giveaways right now that would appeal to you. So what do you have
so
for
this
us?
This is as of, are these all good through the 26th of the month?
No, they're all good through, my understanding was that this was going to air on the 2nd.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. Oh, yes. I'm the wrong person to ask.
You have a better understanding than Leo does.
Yeah, I don't know. This is good through
whatever
the 2nd.
Whatever I said was right.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are all, everything I picked is good from February 2nd through some point in the next week.
Oh, okay. Good.
So, you know, we do have a lot that are pretty rapid turnaround. So this is some of the ones that, you know, they planned a little further in advance. But some really cool stuff going on. There was sort of a little dip around Christmas time because most of the blogs that we cover are, you know, little, small independent blogs, you know, run by parents. And so they all sort of recovered from the holidays, but now everything's really picked up again. And I picked out five, that are good through, they have deadlines that are some point in the week of the first week of February. You want me to just rattle them off?
Rattle them off. This is from Prizey, prizey.blogspot.com. Yeah. And now here they are. Your free crap.
Potential free crap. Keep in mind, you know, all this stuff, I don't know what impact, you know, the more we publicize, they might get more entries. But a lot of this stuff, like, they get like 100 people who enter for this stuff. So
good
as
odds.
Far as ways to spend your time trying to win something, this is a very efficient way to spend your time.
Excellent. All right.
One of the first ones that we have coming up that week is for a product. I don't know how to encapsulate, but it's called Compass Kids. And it's one of the former heads of the Carmen Sandiego software, the geography stuff.
Yeah.
Has this, it's sort of a social networking platform for kids, but it's really the coolest thing about it is it's a blogging platform and it's geography themed. And they're trying to get kids involved in blogging about where they live and what it's like where they are all over the world.
Oh, that's neat.
And they sell these kits, these startup kits that have an access key to this website, as well as a couple little, you know, little doodads you get, like a coin or something from the country and a passport, you know, that you can put things in or whatever. But they get you to set up a blog, join a pen pal club, do all this cool stuff. And they have three different countries that are current right now. One is Egypt, one is Italy, and one is Mexico. And you could win one of these on the blog Super Dumb Supervillain. And that has a deadline of February, I believe it's, February 3rd. The next one that's a really big one, so sort of a longer shot, is I'm sure you've heard of Robies. Anybody with kids?
Oh,
probably,
yeah, the soft shoes.
Knows what Robies is. They are launching a line of shoes with soles, which, you know, is not a PR line you'd expect to hear from a shoe company, but you know, they've basically been in the business of making shoes for people who don't need shoes, which is infants, but now they're going to have these hard-soled shoes that are just as cute. They're really nice. I don't know the firm price on what they're going to cost, but probably around $40 a piece. And they're hosting their own giveaway of 6 pairs of these new shoes plus a $500 gift certificate to, I think, to a brick-and-mortar retailer of your choice, you know, that sells Robies. So a pretty buku set of shoes you could get there.
So this is shoes for kids who are walking as opposed to the...
Yeah, so they're for toddlers, basically. Huh. I don't think they size up much from that. They're still cute little kids' shoes.
Mm.
And they're hosting that giveaway themselves, but like anything, I mean, company websites, sponsored giveaways or otherwise, we checked it all out. We read all their fine print. And right on their entry form, they do it right. They have a little opt-out box, so you don't have to get any other newsletters or emails from them or anything like that. So
excellent.
Definitely worth entering. And that has a deadline of the 4th. And the same day is a deadline for a giveaway on a environmentally conscious parenting blog called Teensy Green, which has a giveaway for a full outfit of clothes from the new kids' clothing company called Happy Green Bee. And I've seen some of these clothes in person, actually, at our local children's museum, and they're really cute. I saw a kid wearing a dress from them. And it's the new company by one of the main person who used to be in Burt's Bees, which is a natural products company.
Yeah,
and she shocked everybody recently by selling that company to Clorox.
Clorox, yeah. My uncle works for Clorox.
And everybody wondered what she was going to go do next, and she went and founded this kids' clothing company. And so Teensy Green is doing a full outfit, which is like a shirt and, you know, bottoms and a hat and all kinds of other stuff that you can win just by commenting on her blog.
Oh, cool.
And that ends on the 4th as well. On Z Recommends, which is the other blog that I write for, we're giving away a what's been very useful to me, a key finding system from Sharper Image. It has those little fobs and a base station, and you can call and figure out where you lost your keys. Or they actually have all these weird things they claim that you can attach it to, like your sunglasses or your wallet or all this stuff. Basically, they're for keys. You know, don't let them fool you. But but we did a review. We critiqued 3 of these different systems and measured their range and, you know, their features and all this stuff. And they were one of the ones that came out on top. So we're giving that away on our blog. And to enter that contest, you have to submit a lost classified ad for something that you've lost recently.
Oh, that's great.
Fine.
Prove that you actually do lose things.
Well, most of the people who've entered so far had something to do with their sanity and the fact that they're parents.
Yeah, that'll work.
We're going to pick a winner from those based on the humor value, and then we'll share a bunch of those on our site too.
That's great.
That ends on the 5th. And then
you do these too. Speaking as a blogger, why do you do these? Is it drive traffic? Is that the interest, or is it just for fun?
It drives some traffic. It keeps readers engaged. You know, it rewards readers. I mean, honestly, a lot of the giveaways that we host on Z Recommends, as opposed to the bigger sweepstakes that we host on Prizy, on Z-Rex, we get rid of stuff that way. You know, we've used it. We've tested it.
Right.
We didn't
right.
break it. And now we're going to go send it to somebody else.
I'm thinking I should probably do that.
Yeah.
I have a few things lying around I could do that
with. Yeah, we don't want all this stuff.
I don't want it. Poor Megan can't even get in the office anymore.
And the last thing I have to mention, which is a deadline coming up on Wednesday, February 6th, is the closing date of a giveaway on this blog called Oh Baby Buy Products. And all those words are spelled funny ways, so you should just come to Prizy to find the giveaway. But they have about a $400 package of baby products from all these brands that parents, you know, who are into boutique stuff have heard of. I mean, Baby Legs and Wooby and new shoe company people have been hearing about, Sea Kai Run, and like 12 different companies, each chipping in a product. And the theme of it is kind of cool because they're all companies that are based in the Pacific Northwest, which is where one of those bloggers is from. So kind of a kind of starting and ending on a geography net there. But to enter that, people just go to the website and check out I think you have to look at like half of the reviews that they did for these companies and see what those companies have submitted for the giveaway, and then enter by listing those items, and then you're entered. If you get them all right, you're entered to
win. Very cool.
Great. Thanks. So you can find all these on Prizee, and you have direct links to them that we can give people.
The top of the Prizee blog is a calendar.
I love that. I was just seeing that. That's really neat. So you can see where the deadlines are.
Yeah, you could. That shows things by deadline, because obviously in the blog format we're just listing things as we find them,
right,
as they're posted. So that's a way to see stuff as it ends rather than as we discover it. And as soon as you see something in there that you like, you just type into our search box and you can find the listing and then go from there to the giveaway directly.
That's really great.
And we always have I don't know what we'll have, you know, in a week or two's time, but we always have big sweepstakes. We pretty much always have something current on Prizee that you can win as well that we host.
Very cool.
Great. Thank you
all right,
so much.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, I'd like to do that again. It's fun to give, you know, we're not giving anything away. We can give, we're like a meta giveaway.
Yeah.
A meta, because he's a meta giveaway. So we're like the meta giveaway.
Yeah, the meta.
Meta.
Exactly.
Meta.
Yeah, that's
meta.
Cool stuff. All that stuff that he talks about.
Do you do those
things?
Do you do these like sweepstakes and stuff?
No. You mean, do I give things away or
try to win?
No, I have a few times, but I don't ever win anything.
Yeah.
So I don't.
You have to try, though.
Yeah, you got to be in it to win it. That was the Texas Lottery slogan when I was growing up.
You got to be in it to win it.
All right.
I like these bee clothes.
That site was really What was it called? Teensy Weensy Bee?
I don't know.
It was cute.
It was something bee. Well, I'll find it again because I love that. It was Green Bee. Oh, wow. What was it?
Teensy Weensy Bee.
Green Bee.
Oh, yeah. Happy Green Bee. Is that the clothing brand or is that the blog?
That's the clothing brand.
Oh, okay.
From the former Burt's Bees lady.
Yeah. Yeah. My uncle works for Clorox and he told me recently that...
Clorox and Burt's Bees doesn't go together.
I know.
You know, they got to get rid of the Clorox name.
I don't think they're going to say Clorox bees or anything. I don't think they're publicizing the fact that they are owned by Clorox.
I just heard it myself.
I use Clorox.
But see, this is like little toddler stuff, but it's an infant stuff, but it is very
cute.
Colorful. And
it is cute. It is really colorful. Yeah. And not like the kind of baby blue and
happy.
Pink, you know,
they're bees. They're all bees. Mm-hmm. They're all little bumblebees.
Bright colors.
Yeah.
Are you ready to discuss our Audible pick?
Is it going to be heavy?
It's not going to be that heavy. No, okay. I don't want to get political.
Get political. You know, we got an election coming up.
We
super
do.
Mega extraordinary Tuesday is just around the corner.
Yeah.
It's this Tuesday.
I know.
Now,
and,
you vote absentee or?
I go down there. I usually like to bring my kids down there. I like them to see what I'm doing.
That's nice. And give them the sticker.
Yeah.
I already voted.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow.
I sent it in.
Wow. Well,
it's kind of funny because it takes you out of the game.
They're
advertising heavily and stuff. And I'm thinking, too late.
Boring.
I already decided.
My parents do that too. Or they used to. But I mean, I know from past experience that our listeners, some, at least the ones that email me, do not really like it so much when we get political. But this is the book I'm reading.
This is the time to get political.
And I feel like I really want to learn more about Barack Obama because I don't know that much except for that he, you know, is attractive and speaks, you know, and
charismatic.
Charismatic, yeah. And like, he just seems like he really will, you know, he really will change things.
Isn't it funny how you really can't run for president unless you've written a book? That's kind of the deal.
I think so.
Bush. I don't think Bush wrote a book.
I don't think he
did.
Isn't
that interesting?
Yeah.
Does that tell you something? Maybe we should have noticed that back then.
Yeah. So what, and again, this isn't the kind of book that I would sit down in bed and read at night, but it is one that I like to listen to.
No, I want
to
read it.
You know, when I'm, it's one that I want to listen to. You want to read it? Why? Yeah. So you can see the pictures? He's reading it, which I think is even more interesting.
Yeah.
He's the narrator. So this is the audacity of hope.
You want to hear a little audacity of hope?
I do.
I can I tell you, I voted for him. I was really tough. I wanted to vote. I love the idea of the first woman president, but I even like the idea of the first African-American president even more. I don't know why. I find him charismatic. But I would happily vote for anybody.
2000 election cycle. It was an ill-considered race, and I lost badly. The sort of drubbing that awakens you to the fact that life is not obliged to work out as you'd planned. At some point, I arrived at an acceptance of my limits, and in a way, my mortality.
I can't wait to listen to that.
Yeah, I think I just really want to know more about him, because I don't know.
Well, we know a lot about Clinton.
Yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think we know a lot about
Clinton, but John Edwards, we know a lot about. He's run for president before,
right?
But Obama is brand new,
and there are other candidates.
That's some of his appeal. No, they're not.
Leo,
there are no other.
I shouldn't even bring this stuff up.
I don't care.
Let's move on to the YouTube video of the week.
Yes.
Oh, did you want to talk a little bit more about Audible for people who don't know?
Oh, I probably should. Please, if you're a Republican, ignore the previous conversation. There are some fine Audible books for Republicans as well. But I do highly recommend Audible.com. What a great way, especially in a political campaign year, to keep up on all this stuff. Not just the books. They've got the debates. They've got a lot of pro bono free stuff that you can download and listen to.
They have a whole political section, so yeah. You can look at books written by or about other candidates.
Oh, absolutely.
Besides the ones we've discussed.
Do your research. That's what this is all about.
Exactly.
This, you know, a little side note, but having spent time in Egypt where they have elections, but they're a fraud. They're a farce. You know, this is the president for life. It's a dictatorship, basically. And you really come back and you realize that what we do in this country works. What the fact that we have a rule of law, that we have elections, that there is an orderly transition of power, even in situations like Nixon, where he had to resign, there were no guns. There were no, you know, there was no army coup. The rule of law, fairness, and free press, that's what makes this country so great. And when you go to a country like Egypt, where they don't have any of that, you see what it does to their morale. You see what it does to their economy. It doesn't work. So I'm a great appreciator of the political debate we've got. And what a great way to learn and to do your duty as a citizen. And to have, you know, there's other, you can listen to other stuff too and have fun. Audible.com/monkeys. We will tell you what, we will arrange for you to get a free book. If you go to audible.com/monkeys and sign up today. They have his speech, by the way, for free from the Democratic National Convention. If you want to hear where Barack Obama became a public figure in 2004, that was where everybody went, whoa.
Yeah. And this is what this book, Audacity of Hope, is sort of based
talking
on.
Talking about, yeah. Mm-hmm. But this is free. And that's what I like about Audible. A great site to learn more about our country, about history, about politics, but also about kids and young adults. There's lots of fiction. Audible.com/monkeys, 45,000 plus titles, a great way to feed your mind. Mm-hmm. Audible.com. So, and that's a good pick. I should listen to that. Now, does Hillary Clinton have a book?
She has It Takes a Village, which she wrote in the 90s.
Oh, I read that. Yeah. That was great.
About parenting.
That, you know, how isn't it interesting how that got into the consciousness of all of us?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talk about that in schools all the time. It takes a village.
I think she's updated it, but I don't know. Yeah. For sure.
Also, her speeches from the conventions. Mm. There's actually quite a bit on Audible. The Case Against Hillary Clinton, that's the Peggy Noonan book.
Mm-hmm.
The Case for Hillary Clinton, that's the Susan Estrich book. Madam Hillary, The Dark Road to the White House, that's the crazy book.
Crazy. Okay, you ready for the YouTube video of the week?
It looks like you got like six of them.
Well, it's six parts. You know, often they'll have like full...
TV shows,
which is, of course,
illegal,
not legal.
We don't care.
But this is what's been entertaining my family at home. The Lorax.
That's Dr. Seuss, right?
Yeah. And it's the animated version. I think it must be from the 70s, just from what I've seen from, you know, the.
See if you remember this, kids. See if this brings any memories back.
Yeah. So the 60s, maybe even. I don't know.
That's kind of a Bob Newhart-y kind of a Eddie Albert, Bob Holt. Wow.
I love this book by Dr. Seuss, and my kids love watching it.
I don't know if
anime.
This was on TV. You think this was on TV? Oh, Fritz Freleng. It's a Fritz Freleng production.
Who's Fritz Freleng?
Oh, you know, big cartoon guy. A lot of great cartoons.
At the far end of town where the grickle grass grows, and the wind smells slow and sour when it blows, and no birds ever sing excepting old crows, is the street of the lifted Lorax.
So this is in six parts. It is great, isn't it?
Oh, man. And so your kids will sit. Now, how do you do this? Do you
make it full screen.
You make it full screen and you say, okay.
And it's either on Annabella's lap. I don't put it on the boys' lap just because they're too small.
Yeah.
Or I'll just put it on the table and they watch it. And they don't watch very much TV, so they get pretty excited.
We
And you why might, was it there?
We might be interested in
and
that. On the Mac Break Weekly, let me pause this
somewhere.
Here. On Mac Break Weekly, Merlin Mann, or was it Andy Iannocco? I think it was Andy Iannocco, talked about a program for the Mac that will take YouTube videos and extract it so you can have it.
Oh.
And you can even join them together. It's called Tubal. TOOBLE.TV.
So what does it do? It
puts it on your iPod or you know, or on your computer. Or we have an Apple TV, so I could put it on the Apple TV.
Yeah.
But you put it on an
iPod. I have
an
iPod, yeah. Video iPod. Cool. That's good. Tubal. I'll put that link in the show notes.
TV.
So, yeah.
I like that, the Lorax.
And it keeps you involved in your children's television watching because it's only, you know, each part's only 3 minutes long. So if you have, you know, my kids who don't know how to work the computer, I have to, like, turn on each part for them.
No, and the other thing is they're not watching commercials.
No, they're not.
They're not learning about why boys like trucks.
Exactly. Even Sesame Street has commercials, like in between. And
what?
Like in between the...
brought to you by Archer Daniels Minute.
Or McDonald's, world. Usually.
What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, and they're not actual commercials. They're just like at the very beginning, but they're just...
Sponsorship ad, but...
Yeah. And Fidelity, they're also supports.
Fidelity
Investments, yeah. I was trying to explain to my dad why I didn't really want them to watch me. He's like, well, you don't want them to be good investors? You know? Like, it's
no,
just the
I don't
idea.
Think children's programming should have ads of any kind. Kids don't have, they're mush minds.
Well, it's on PBS. That's why I don't understand, I guess.
Well, they have to, that's the underwriting thing. But I think, of all places. Come on, guys.
So should we do some listener feedback? I've got some emails.
Yes.
You want to hear them?
I do, because I don't have any voicemails.
Well, you should give out our number.
I will. You read one, I'll get the number for you.
This is from Joel from Sweden. He says he recommends this site for educational freeware for toddlers and upwards. And it's wartoft.nu/software. And I checked it out. It looks like it's some interesting like reading software.
And it's all in kinds Swedish, but it's also in English.
Right. It's Marianne Wartoff's site. So
the Swedes speak better English than we do.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it.
Here's someone else from a country that is not ours. Nick from England. He says, hi, Megan. I'm from England, and seeing as the school system here is not the greatest in the world.
I think everybody in England is named Nick.
Or maybe we've heard from Nick from England before.
I don't know. For a long time, I called Will Harris Nick.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. You have to start early in trying to choose the school for your beloved offspring.
That's true here.
Yes, true. We're lucky in that we have three decent schools to choose from that will take him from age 5 to 11, but you still need to do the research. In background reading on the subject of education, I came across this site, which will be more interesting to you guys over the pond than it is to me, and that's coreknowledge.org. And I checked it out. It looks interesting. Just
This is Edie Hirsch's...
you've heard of him?
Yeah. Yeah. He actually read one of his books. His whole idea is cultural literacy. It's very interesting.
Uh-huh.
But it is... it has a point of view. Not necessarily a bad point of view, but, you know, it has a point of view.
Huh.
So don't just read this site. Read a variety of sites.
Nick
I actually don't agree. I don't disagree with the point of view.
Huh.
But it's funny how schools are in some ways a hot button for people. They're lightning rod for people and their beliefs. So you've got William Bennett on one side.
Yeah.
You've got Edie Hirsch on another. I think Hirsch is pretty right on.
Huh.
But just so you know.
It's slanted.
Well, he has a point of view.
Yeah. The next email comes from Heather and John. And they wanted to recommend a great mom photo blog called The Pioneer Woman. Pioneerwoman.com.
Plowing through life in the country, one calf nut at a time.
What's
a calf nut?
I
don't know why I know. These are beautiful.
Heather and John say she has single-handedly made... Well, John says she has single-handedly made my wife obsess over getting a digital SLR camera.
This is the most beautiful picture I've ever seen.
It is.
Horse picture.
Yeah, I did take a look at the blog. It's a really interesting story of... I guess she was a city girl and moved onto this ranch and takes great photos and writes great stories.
She's a pioneer woman.
Yeah.
But boy, I love this wild Mustang shot.
Yeah, but if you're a photographer interested in, you know, photography, it's just thepioneerwoman.com.
Wow.
Amanda had one more recommendation from me. She said, for me, she says, after hearing about all your trials and tribulations with your biting boys, I found this shirt. She says, I didn't want to post it as a comment on your blog for fear of making you mad. And it's from Baby Wit, and I love Baby Wit clothes.
Are you mad?
No, I'm not. It says, caution, I bite.
That's good. I wish I'd had that when Abby was. and Henry. And your boys don't bite anymore.
They sometimes, on occasion, will bite each other, but they don't bite anyone else.
They're allowed to bite each other.
Yeah. Yeah. They're in school now, and school is some sort of like safe haven in their minds to not ever bite or push or anything. But not so much at home to each other.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
They make that distinction.
I think they really do. I was hoping that would be the way it was, but I don't know. I think it's sometimes kids, like if they feel, I don't think they feel unsafe at school, but I think kids often exhibit the worst behavior in front of their parents.
Oh, that I know. Because they certainly as a teenager.
They trust you.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
I thought it was they hated me.
No,
I think you're right. They trust me. They can let their hair down. Exactly. They can be themselves. They can be the evil, twisted, nasty person that they want to be.
Well, yes. You scare me so much. I
Wait
want my kids to stay
teenagers.
Exactly the same age they are now.
Yeah. You know what? Right about 7 and 8, 6, 7, 8. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the best time.
Yeah.
That's the sweetest wine. And then bitter dregs.
Mm. That is so not true.
No, it is so. You know, well, it's kind of true. But you love them the same, which makes it hurt even more, actually. Mm. they're busy being independent, learning to be independent.
Right, that's the way it should
be. It's fine. It's perfectly fine. And I'll miss them just as much when they're gone, which is going to be soon, I hope.
So next week, we're going to talk to Kristen Chase of Cool Mom Picks.
That's fun.
And
I love
Motherhood Uncensored. Motherhood, not Motherherd.
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 There. You got a blog name right there. Mm-hmm. Motherherd.
Yeah. I'm sure it's been used. They all have.
There's nothing new.
So, and I want to thank Denise Howell for coming on. Always interesting. And thanks to you for staying awake.
And Mr. Prizey.
Yeah. Thanks for
staying awake. I was a little sleepy when you got here.
You were napping when I got here.
I was catatonic. No, I'm still getting better.
Yeah.
That's my excuse. I'm going to be sick for the rest of the year. If you want to call us, we'd love to hear from you. Our voicemail number is 707-981-4602. 981-4602 in the 707 area code. It's not toll free, but it shouldn't cost much. That's our Grand Central number.
Or record your voice and email it to me at megan@twit.tv.
And that is free.
Yep.
Absolutely free. We thank you. JumpingMonkeys.com is a place for show notes. And we'll be back next week with another great Jumping Monkeys. Watch out, I bite.
Caution, I bite.
Caution.